Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Yeah, I'm ready. Count you down.
All right.
Are you going to interrupt me this time?
No, I promise I will not interrupt. Go ahead.
Three, two, one. And go.
Hey, welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast, a.k.a. the House of Jones.
A.k.a. the House Jones, a.k.a. House of Jones, a.k.a.
Is that the... a.k.a.
Game of Jones.
Game of Jones. Oh, jeez. Let's start over. Just kidding. Let's see. How's everything going, Brian?
Good, man. I just left the closing.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
Went really well. Train ass.
You basically just sat there.
I sat there.
Yeah.
Hoping they didn't have any questions.
Hey, what's this mean?
I don't know. Crap. Trey, did they,
I'm going to go ahead and defer to your lender. My lender's not here. But yeah, other than that, everything's good?
Yeah, man. How about yourself?
Can't complain. Working on some finishing touches for one of our other deals. But let's get into it. Today, right. We are joined by David Storm of Reliable Radon Solutions. RRS, can I call it that?
Sure.
RRS is a full-service radon mitigation company. Whether it's getting your home tested or creating a system for removing the radon from your home, Reliable Radon Solutions is there to assist you every step of the way. David, welcome to the Jones Zone.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the House of Jones.
He's like, I already heard the AKA spiel. So yeah, man, that was a quick, brief introduction. But if you can, kind of share your story, give us a little insight as to who you are, and then tell us about Reliable Radon Solution and what all you guys do.
All right. I'm also a home inspector, and... So in the fall of last year, right around Thanksgiving, I had three or four radon tests that came back high, and the customers reached out to me a few weeks later and had issues finding somebody to help them take care of the radon, help mitigate it. So I just started doing a little bit of research on my own to see what it took to actually get certified and get lined up to do something like that, and decided to go for it.
What all did it take to be certified to be a radon specialist?
Well, there are no real national standards. It's not like, you know, real estate or contracting where you have to have a license to do it. Literally anyone can do it, but... to be part of one of the national certification organizations, it proves that you've been trained, you have continuing education, you have all that stuff to kind of put you in a position to be successful. So there's two main companies that do that. There's the AARST and...
ARST.
Yes, exactly. And then the National Radon Safety Board. So one of those two are kind of the two main companies.
So you took some night classes in the course of a couple months?
Actually took mine online because there's not a lot of people that provide classes for that down here. It's just not something that... It's something that's becoming more common down here for people to test for it and want to mitigate it, but... It's much more prevalent up north and kind of in the Midwest. So most of the few companies that do the training, they're all like up north, like up in New Jersey and Massachusetts. So you can travel up there and do it, but they do offer some online, like webinar style classes. So that's
We offer online classes. So, oh, do you?
You don't have to drive up to
you
Jersey.
You don't have to drive up. You leave your family behind. So
what is radon? Were you going to ask that?
No, I was going to ask him to talk a little bit about before he got into radon specialist, but go ahead.
What question? Okay, so what is radon for the people listening who are like, radon? What is that?
It is decaying uranium in the soil. So it's pretty much everywhere. You can't really get around it. You can't really avoid it. It's just down there in the ground, and certain areas have it more than others. There's really no way to know except a test. You can have three houses on a street, and house A might be good, house B might have it, house C might not. You just don't know unless you test.
It's decaying what?
Uranium.
So basically, that's a gas that's coming up through the soil.
The uranium is, you know, it's a rock, and as it breaks down and decays, it turns into radium, and then from there to radon, which is the gas form, and that's kind of what comes into your house.
So does this area have a lot of uranium? Is that...
Well, it's... Yes and no. Uranium is pretty much everywhere. Obviously, the higher the concentration... If it was a truly high concentration, they'd be mining it. But it's still pretty much everywhere. It's one of the most common, you know, rocks out there. So it's pretty much everywhere. But, you know, it's deep enough. Once you clear a lot to build a house, it's not like you're going to scrape it all away and take care of the radon. It's coming up from pretty low. So... If it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. Okay. There's not really much.
Is that what the Libyans were after Doc Brown?
That's plutonium.
Plutonium. Okay.
Hey, but you know what? Look at his company logo. That kind of, it reminded me of Doc Brown. Yeah, that's funny that you say that. 1.21 gigawatts. So all right. So you have radon gas. What's the big deal? I mean, can you elaborate? Why that's important to know?
It's a carcinogen, so it is the second leading cause of lung cancer behind just smoking cigarettes.
Radon gases? Yes. Okay.
Yep. So approximately 22,000 people a year will die from radon-related lung cancer. They say it's like one every 25 minutes, so actually by the time
I get done with this podcast, somebody's going to die from radon
All right, so who needs to get this tested? I mean, people... You know, obviously, when we're selling houses, who do we recommend getting a radon test to?
I always say any basement or split level is definitely a good idea to test, because you're down in the ground, you're a little deeper, you're surrounded by that soil that could potentially have radon in it. But really, any slab too has got potential. Crawl spaces, it's a little less common because you've got that natural ventilation space under the house. So generally what comes in has time to kind of get out.
Okay.
Now, if it's really high concentration in that area, you still could potentially have it, but it's just a little more rare. I wouldn't say don't test, you know, on a crawl space, but you're probably going to find lower readings. But any split level, and if it's an area that you know has high radon, I'd say even test slabs too, for sure.
How does someone know if it's an area that has high radon? Just... Is that a Google search thing? Or?
Yeah, there's a radon map online. Each state has like a radon website that you can go look at, and it'll show you the areas where they have high readings. The only problem with it is they don't update it very often. And like right now in this area, we're doing a lot more testing. With more testing, you're going to find more radon. So there are areas now where they probably could update that map and make it a little more accurate. It's just they're very slow to do that. So.
Do new construction neighborhoods test for it before they decide to build, do you think?
They don't, because like I said, it's down deep enough. Doesn't really matter what you do to the topsoil. You're either going to have it or you're not. The best thing to do is just to test after the house is finished. There's really not much else you can do.
So obviously you guys test for radon. What other services do you guys provide at Reliable Radon Solutions?
Well, we do the mitigation as well, which is getting rid of the radon. And then we'll also inspect existing systems or do repairs or whatever needs to be done.
So what do you guys do to get rid of radon that's in the soil? What's the mitigation process look like?
Well, what you do is underneath every slab, there's going to be 4 to 6 inches of stone. So basically you core a hole in the concrete and you put a PVC plumbing pipe down into the slab or into that stone layer. And then you hook up a fan to that runs 24/7, and it just sucks the air out from underneath the house before it has a chance to get in.
Does that have any other impacts on the house? I mean, how does that affect?
Just a little bit, maybe a $7 or $8 increase in your power bill every month just from having a fan pulling that much power running constantly, and that's about it.
So you don't need to worry about compromising the structural integrity or anything.
No,
like
as
that.
A matter of fact, it helps with moisture issues really, because you're moving all that wet, stagnant air out from underneath the soil, so and underneath the house. So whether it's a crawl space, a slab, a basement, it actually, I've never heard of somebody coming back and complaining that the radon system affected the moisture in their house or in their slab. So I've actually seen a few closed crawl spaces where they used a radon fan in the crawl space area to help move air from underneath the plastic they put down. Okay. So
how much does all this cost?
Generally in the $1,400 or $1,500 up to about $2,000 range, somewhere in there.
And how much does the actual test cost? Because I know people, they're trying to, you know, when you're moving, you need to save some pennies every once in a while. I mean, how much are we talking here?
Most home inspectors or radon companies are going to charge about $150 to $200 for a test. With that test, it's a continuous monitor, so you're going to get an hour-by-hour reading as far as what your radon levels are, because they do fluctuate. You can go a less expensive route, which is like a charcoal canister. You can get them online. You can get them at Lowe's. They're accurate as well, but they just give you an overall average. They're not going to show you where your levels have spiked and where they're high and low.
You said radon levels fluctuate. What makes them fluctuate? Is it like a time of day or?
A little of everything. It's environmental factors like the weather. Before it rains and during a rainstorm, it'll tend to spike. The barometric pressure outside puts pressure on the ground, and that actually pushes radon into your house. Windy days will increase it. And also just running your HVAC system. When you've got an HVAC system pulling air, it creates a little bit of a vacuum in your house. And that vacuum has to pull air from somewhere to fill the void, so it pulls it from the ground that the house is sitting on. So sometimes your levels could even spike just while you have your HVAC running.
Mm. So that's kind of problematic in the summer then.
Yeah, but that's why you just test. And if you've, you know, if your levels are in that, I don't want to say danger zone, but in that area where the EPA recommends, you know, taking care of it, then just do it. I mean, it's the nice thing about it is it costs less than a lot of the repairs you're going to do in a real estate deal. I mean, you go into almost any crawl space, and if you've got any kind of issues at all, you're going to be at a couple $1,000 probably. This is literally, you know, right around 2,000 is about going to be the max, unless it's a crawl space. It's a little more labor intensive, a lot more work. You have to redo the plastic, but like I said, those are a lot more rare. I've yet to come across a crawl space that had high enough radon that it needed to be mitigated. So,
How high is too high? Like, I mean, there's obviously, I don't know what the numbers are, but if it's naturally occurring, and then how much more potent, I guess, for lack of a better term, does it have to be in your house before it's a danger?
Well, it's just a matter of exposure. Long-term exposure, even at low levels, is just as bad or actually worse than high level for a short period of time. So the outdoor average in our country is 0.4. The indoor average is 1.3.
0.4 so what?
Like 0.4, it's called PCLs, picocuries per liter.
You get that, Brian?
Yeah, PCLs.
How do you spell that? Picoliters per liter.
Yeah.
Per liter of what?
Per liter of air.
Okay.
So think of like a 1 liter bottle of soda. In that bottle of soda, you will have like, I think it's 3 disintegrations of radon every 27 seconds, I think it is. So about 2 per minute, give or take. And that disintegration is basically a miniature explosion of the radon breaking down. So what happens is that radon grabs onto dust particles and smoke particles in the air, and that's how you breathe them into your lungs. Then they disintegrate and it attacks your lungs, your tissue. So for every liter of air at 1 PCL, you've got 2 explosions. So the higher your levels, the more those. I mean, think about how many liters of air are in this room.
Yeah.
So
let's have a guess.
I couldn't even think about putting air into it. It's like, I just scoop the liter of air.
You can sell
scoop
it.
You just can sell it. You're just in here forever.
Like on Spaceballs, the fresh air.
Yeah. Hey guys, can. I got radon free air here.
Oh, I love it.
We can probably sell it. Yeah, cool. People are just like, oh man, interesting.
Radon free air. Yep.
Okay, so how did they come up with the fact that that radon gas is linked to cancer?
They used a combination of like miner studies, uranium miners throughout the world. There's been several different countries that have done studies, and they just were able to link later in life cancer, you know, elevated levels of lung cancer with people that were working in those areas. And that's what kind of led them to link lung cancer and radon or radon gas. So,
What about that story you were telling me before we started?
Yeah, that's kind of cool. It's actually how they kind of figured out that radon was a potential problem in people's houses. There was a guy working for a nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania. I think it was in 1988, maybe. And he showed up to work one morning. And at the time, they said that there was no nuclear material on site yet, but they were still using the radiation detectors and he walked in to work and set off the radon detector, the radiation detector. And of course, this raised a bunch of red flags, and nobody could figure out what was going on until they went to his house and discovered that his house was basically radioactive. Oh, and it was, he had super high concentrations of radon in his house.
Did he become a superhero?
No, I don't think he did.
Those are gamma rays, Brian.
Oh, okay,
sorry. Could you imagine? That'd be terrifying, dude. Walking through, like, the security at your work.
Radioactive?
Beep! It's, oh, what?
Beep! So, yeah, that led them to discover that it was actually in people's houses, and then that's when the EPA stepped in and started doing additional testing and research and figured out that it was a potential problem. So.
And then, so you've been in the construction industry for how long?
Since 2003. Started off building houses, and then I did that as a superintendent for a home builder till about 2008, and then the market kind of crashed and I got laid off. And
the market crashed in 2008?
That's the rumor, yeah.
So yeah, and then I transitioned into commercial construction and I did some project management and estimating and stuff like that. And then I always liked residential, so I kind of filtered back into it by doing home inspections. Started off doing them on the side and then I just went into it full time. So I still do home inspections, but again, that kind of led me to the radon stuff, so now I'm trying to transition to doing more radon stuff.
Focusing your niche on radon.
I'm trying to, yeah. But yeah, in the meantime, you know, it's a little slow going getting it started. So in the meantime, I just still do home inspections.
Okay.
But,
gotta pay the bills.
Yeah.
Gotta pay the bills.
What do you like most about home inspections?
Well, as you know, I work with Home Inspection Carolina, so I work with Preston, and he's awesome.
Preston Sandlin.
He's awesome to work with. And, you know, I just like the flexibility. It's kind of like with what you guys do. You kind of are able to set your own appointments more or less, and you can work the days you want to work and be there for the family and doctor's appointments, things like that when you need to too. So I really like that about it.
Speaking of which, Chris, I need to go to Nashville in August. Do you mind if I take some time off to do that?
Yeah, if you'll just submit your formal request to leave, that's fine.
I feel like as the president, I shouldn't have to submit a...
Well, remember, it is a request. I had the boss tell me that one time.
Yeah, it is a request.
But I'm the boss. That's the thing. I think I'm the boss of the Jones Zone, but he thinks he's the boss.
As CEO, I'm going to ask that you submit a formal request for paid time.
Okay.
So, what do you think's higher, CEO or president?
I don't know. That's a good one.
I'll say president for sake of conversation.
That's a whole other podcast.
Right? So, all right. Someone finds out they have radon. They need to get it mitigated. You've talked a little bit about that, but what does that look like? Do they need to leave the house for a month while you figure out what you need to do, or how's the actual mitigation process go?
Well, normally I would visit the site. If it's real far away, I might just sort of ask some basic questions, some basic stats on the house, and I can kind of get a price that way. I've been doing construction long enough that I can kind of more or less figure it out to where I'm not going to hurt myself in the end that way. But typically, I'd like to go look at the house and kind of try and figure out, you know, where the best place to put the pipe is in this lab, and also the best place I can put the pipe on the outside of the house to where it's not ugly and intrusive, because it is going to be there as long as the house is there.
And it's like a PVC pipe.
Yeah, it's PVC plumbing pipe, so I mean, it's white when it goes on the house. Mm-hmm. It can be painted. I'm sort of debating whether I want to get into painting it. I've had some other guys tell me that it's not a great thing to do because they end up with tons and tons of paint they can't use, and it kind of gets to be a pain. If you're on a job when it's raining, then you can't paint it. You gotta come back. So I'm debating whether I need to start doing that, but it can be painted to match your gutters or whatever else and kind of help blend it in. But ideally, I'd like to put it somewhere where it's not going to be too intrusive anyway.
It's the back end of a garage.
The back of a garage, or maybe behind a chimney or something like that, you know, where you can run it up the side of the house behind the chimney, somewhere where you're not really going to see it from the street. So, because it will be a permanent part of the house, so I want to make it look like it's always meant to be there and not sort of an afterthought.
So it is a permanent part of the house. That's part of the remediation that's going
to
be there.
And like I said, I mean, if it's possible to keep it in the house completely, you can put the fan in the attic. So if it's, you know, a one-story house or there's a portion of the slab, you know, that has maybe just a single attic above it, you can keep that pipe like in a closet or something and run it up into the attic, and then it's vented out through the roof just like a plumbing vent pipe. And you can kind of conceal it that way. But typically, you know, when we're going into a finished house, you end up having to put it on the outside. The closets don't always line up on top of each other and things like that.
Yeah.
So it gets tough to kind of hide it on a two-story house. But
how many houses on average have elevated radon in it?
They say 1 in 15 in the U.S. will have radon.
And that covers all regions? I mean,
yeah, that's just kind of the overall average. Obviously, there are certain parts of the country where, based on their soil, being on fault lines, things like that, can make it a little bit higher of a incidence. But, you know, down here, we didn't test a whole lot for it in the past. And now that we've got more transplants, more people coming from up north and coming down that know about radon, they're asking for testing. And obviously, the more we're testing, the more we're finding. So
it's interesting that you said that, because we have a lot of Pennsylvania, Ohio, New Jersey transplants. Yeah. So I can see that now that's become would become a trend. Especially if they're a little older and they're more concerned about health
concerns. Yeah, because carcinogens. At the end of the day, that's what it is. It's you're cleaning up indoor air quality. You know, you're just trying to get that air a little bit healthier that you're going to be breathing every day. And that's really what you're doing. So.
Well, tell us a little bit about RRS, man. I mean, you're an entrepreneur. You're starting your own thing. I mean, how's that? What are you doing to help get out there and just, like, because we're entrepreneurs too. Yeah. So that's kind of what this podcast is all about. I mean,
platform.
What are some things that you're doing to build your business and stuff?
Just trying to get out there and pop my head in some real estate offices and introduce myself to the people at the front desk and just try and get my name and my logo out there so that people kind of recognize it. There's not a lot of people doing it around town. I feel like I got in it potentially at a good time. We're starting to do more testing. There's not a lot of people that do the mitigation. So I thought maybe I'd just throw my hat in the ring and see what happens. But I did join up with Keller Williams as one of their vendor partners, and so far, it's only been about 2 weeks, and so far it's been pretty awesome.
Awesome,
man. Made a lot of contacts and met a lot of people that way.
There's some good people over there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, what areas do you serve geographically?
Pretty much anywhere in this area. I mean, I'll go to Huntersville, Mooresville, Kings Mountain. I'll go down to Columbia. I'll go out to. I've actually got a couple friends in Greensboro who could help me out. They do appraisals actually, so they're pretty flexible in their schedules, so if I've got stuff out in the Greensboro area, I can actually go handle out there as well.
Okay.
Anything within about a 2-hour drive, I'm willing to go out there for a job. I'm still making money at that. Much further than that, and it's getting questionable. But
yeah. So, but the usual way someone tests for radon is during their home inspection. They just say add the radon to it.
Yeah, that's pretty typical now. Of course, once you're in the house, I mean, you can always still test once you're in the house. But yeah, I mean, and really the EPA recommends after any major renovation, if you're in an unfinished, you know, house with an unfinished basement and you've never tested, you might want to test either before or after you do that renovation too.
Interesting.
Because you can actually, you know, an unfinished basement is relatively open, but once you go closing that in with flooring and drywall and sheetrock mud, it actually tightens that up and it will not allow the radon to escape as easily. So actually renovating an unfinished basement can actually increase your levels.
I'm glad you brought that up. So, where are other places you can find radon gas other than in the soil, like you just said, with materials and other things like that? Mm-hmm. Where are other places that radon gas is present?
It can be in the rock that's used in the concrete. That's happened because obviously in concrete they use crushed rock, crushed aggregate. So you can actually have radon coming out of the concrete due to the rock that's already in it. There have been cases where the radon has been in, you know, granite countertops. If they came out of a particular quarry in a particular area that had high radon, they can actually continue to off gas once they're installed in a house. So that's a little more rare, though. That doesn't happen as often.
How would you remediate that?
Typically, if it's already in the air, you'd have to put an air change system in. It's called an ERV, recovery ventilation. And that's typically what they do for like high-rise condo buildings too, because you don't have a slab with a base material to tap into. So it's basically a fan, almost like an HVAC fan. It's got two ducts that go outside, two ducts inside the house, and it just runs all the time. And it just basically changes your air in your house.
You know what? I think that happened to one of the condos uptown.
Yeah, 1315 East, I believe.
That's what okay.
Yeah, above what used to be 131 Main in Dilworth.
Yeah.
That building has them in there.
Oh, okay.
They had
radon. I remember reading that, yeah. All right, David, man, you've been awesome. I appreciate all the knowledge. Why don't you take the last 60 seconds or so and just kind of summarize what you want the people to know and about your company and what radon is, and just kind of give us the quick one-minute summary, man.
All right. Well, just test, I think, is the big thing. Radon is there whether you know it's there or not. It's colorless, odorless. It's there. Whether you have a lot of it or a little of it, you won't know unless you actually do a radon test. So that's kind of the big thing, is getting the testing out there, and then, you know, once you figure out whether or not you have it, just try and figure out how to get rid of it if you do.
Okay. So. All right, man. How can people get in touch with you?
Either the website, www.reliable-radon.com, or email, phone number, all that stuff's on the website too. So any way they want to contact me, they can do that.
All right. David Storm, thanks for coming on the Jones Zone podcast, man. It's a pleasure to have you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.